leaning against the wall of the hallway, quietly but copiously weeping. I can still see her today. Her emotions were so strong I hesitated to approach her. But I was on the way to the library and thought if I just stood there it would interfere with her personal space, even more than passing it. When I finally was beside her, she looked over at me, smiled through her tears, and said quietly and lovingly, "The Supreme Court has ruled school segregation is unconstitutional." That day, Alan wept and cried and screamed and yelled and jumped up and down and laughed and hugged and studied war no more on that day in May. I do have one final additional comment. Early summer, Ruth Walter, who's the superintendent, who's living at Oak Powell home in Asheville, her nephew got in touch with me, and he had kind of started paying attention to his aunt, who is very taciturn. And he started asking and realizing there was this incredible experience that she had had in running the school. And so he ran into a friend who's a Hollywood filmmaker at their high school reunion, and they decided that they really need to do a documentary film. So they were interviewing people, and they've come up with new lists, which they have shared with us. They came here and, in fact, interviewed me in the Appalachian Collection this summer, and they have promised all of the materials that they have collected in the course of doing this documentary film, which they hope to take to Sundance. They have promised all of that to the W.L.U. Appalachian Collection Archive. They have also gone to Elm School Reunion, which we missed because I didn't hear about it until a few days before. But they're planning another reunion in 2 years. I would love to have a lot more of the descriptive material finished. And I'm always searching for a graduate student or a colleague or a senior undergraduate who would like to take me on as a thesis project. There's much research to be done, many questions to be answered, and maybe some grant funding out there if you'd like to.
Did you say that the Allen School, the same people that founded the Allen School founded what is now One Wilson?
Yeah.
Okay. What was One Wilson College before it was technically called?
It was the Farm Industrial
School.
Farm School.
Farm School.
There's a nice history of One Wilson.
I almost went to school there.
Oh, okay.
I'm from Asheville, so.
Yeah. Just been ringing the bell. Do you know where the Allen School is?
Actually, I don't
know. Okay, actually, you go through the cut,
okay,
or the tunnel, well, or through the tunnel, and it's right there on the left, and it's now office building. And there's the Mary Temple, it's the school and the church that's right across the street, and there's another two historically black churches, Methodist churches right there. One is not operating, one is closed, and the right across the street is the very active church. And if you go in on 40 and then go back around, you know, you know where First Baptist Church is. That's the big.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you were to walk up the street, you would go to the altitude. It's really just about a block and a half away. It's now, but when they closed it, the dormitories were kind of newer, were turned into office buildings. Some of the buildings were torn down, but that was basically the dorms and across the street in the church. Yeah.
How come it was allowed to get so run down?
Oh, I mean, it was closed. What was closed?
I thought it was closed because it's
closed. Oh, no, because it's school desegregation. I'm sorry.
That's why.
Right, the United Methodist Church. I'm sorry, I may have just read through that. When public schools were desegregated in North Carolina, they kept open for a little bit longer, and actual schools were desegregated in 68. And they kept open for a few more years and then realized that they, I mean, felt like they were no longer needed. They didn't need that kind of facility. It was sort of traumatic, and I mean, they always are closing on the side of school, an institution like that, that has a great deal of loyalty. It's difficult, but anyway, it was not closed because it was run down, but because of school desegregation.
Listening to that, I'm just wondering if anybody has done any studies following the African-American women that after desegregation, okay, when they were then put into the public schools, and the difference between the opportunity that they had in the Allen School versus the opportunities, which we know were not anywhere near equal, in the public schools, and the decline, because I would imagine there would be a great decline in the same population or similar population of similar age groups at that point, because African American people, I mean, I was growing up during this time as well, granted it was up in New York, but I'm thinking about the differences in the educational systems for African American people versus white people regardless. You know, even though we had desegregation, there really was a big difference.
Well, and I would say that the public school, the African American public school, which was Stevens Lee, was almost a cultural center for Western North Carolina. Because, and speakers were there, if you look at the Stevens Lee records of people who came, there was the Dean of Columbia College would come every year because they were recruiting students, college students to go to New York. Students, they were sending students off to to Chicago and New York in particular. University of Chicago was very welcoming of talented young people from the South. When school desegregation came, the facilities at the African American school had been very, very poor, just awful. And so they closed that school and put everybody in the white school, Lee Edwards, and they called it Asheville High School, but they, I think you're right, people lament the nurturing and the rigor that they experienced in the African American schools that they then did not experience in the desegregated schools, that the opportunities were greater and lesser. And there are some of the students who said that they're parents sent them to private school. Some of them went to St. Genevieve, and I was trying to think of a couple of the private schools in Asheville, because they feared for their safety and their education putting them in the desegregated public school. Some of them, I've interviewed some men and women who, during that period, whose parents just sent them to private school.
Because
they were fearful. I don't know if I did. Yeah, I mean, they did. I just was, you know, brings a question to me. Yeah. So the
integration,
how would
the
Allen
School fund
it? Well, by the United Methodist Church. Yeah. So mostly United Methodist, but they did a lot of fundraising. They fundraised for other events. And that whole choir tour, they would get raised funds from other Methodist churches, white Methodist churches in Western North Carolina, which is why the choir would go and do a performance. So it was sort of a thank you for their contribution. But they would do a lot of choir tours around. Oh, and we don't know exactly how they were funded, but you did raise that. We're working on it. You know, there, and it's mostly oral from the street. People talk about how they got funded, and then Ruth Walker has a wonderful memory. She was the superintendent, and as we think of questions, we go back, and she, you know, always has the answer. It's just we have to think of the questions that. Yeah.
You mentioned that the young men after ninth grade often went into the army and New York, but what's your sense of the educational opportunity in the same region for African Americans? in the Black community better educated because there were places like the Allen School or what?
There was one place. There was the Allen School. So there was the Allen School for girls. There was the Army for boys. But there was a, I think there was a Black school in South Carolina. Maybe, you know, Clemson or something. I'm sorry. Yeah, do you know? Right, yes, the Waters Reservoir schools were around.
Yeah. Right. I was thinking about Virginia Tech where it used to work, and they didn't allow Black students there for decades. And then the mid to late 1950s, they allowed some Black men, but not Black women. They didn't allow Black women in until later. Mm-hmm. So I was just curious if that was.
They chose to end the balance of the
Because it's every day.
No, I'm sorry, yeah.